Good morning.
I know it's been a while. I think it's almost half a year since I was here last time. I'm sure in half a year, a lot of things have changed, whether in our own lives or at the church or in the community that we live in. I'm sure we all know Houston just won their World Series. Those of you like baseball, like I do. But anyway, so it doesn't sound like you're that excited, so that's okay. But I do thank God for all of you as you've been able to come and worship Him in such a great, wonderful church setting. And I'm not sure when you come this morning what kind of expectation you have. I remember I'm praying for you this morning. I pray that the Word of God will be the reason we come, so that we could learn who He is and how, knowing Him, our lives will reflect that knowledge in our daily lives. And so I remember a while back, as I thought, okay, I'm coming to 4C to preach. What should I prepare? And as I praying for it, the Lord said, well, maybe help them to read a book that maybe on their own, they don't read that often. So I decided to share with you from the book of Philemon. He said, well, where is that at? It's very easily to find. It's kind of centered between the book of Hebrews. You find book of Hebrews, you turn a book forward, that's a book of Philemon. Or if you can't find it, you find Timothy, then Titus, then you find Philemon. So the reason I choose that book is I feel that I don't know what's the Lord's will for me, whether I'll be back or not, or it doesn't matter where I'm back or not. But I hope whenever I go to preach at a church, I help them to at least know one book. And in order to do that, I had to find the book that's very short. So Philemon is only one chapter, 25 verses. So you find it, I'd like us to read it together. Because for those of you who had read it before, it's a review. But for those of us who may not have ever read this book, I hope it's something that we can learn together. Okay? When you find it, will you please read with me? Philemon, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. So, Ephia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not be forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you may have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you in anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some credit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, perhaps a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sent you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Good grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, I pray that indeed the Spirit will be our teacher. Father, we thirst for your word. Only you can talk to us. No human, no mere man can utter the wisdom from above. I pray the Lord, I'll be a vessel that you deem useful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The reason I chose this book, it's a very interesting book. Even though it's only 25 verses in it, I hope all of us will focus in four areas. Because this book is, if you had read this book before, you know it's really talking about human relationship between a master and a runaway slave. And how Paul, through his encounter of this slave, led him to Christ. And how he urged the master to receive him back, to give forgiveness. And how can we forgive someone who had wronged us? It's all related to faith. If we say we know and trust God, how do we live out our life daily? Reveal truly faith is real. So I want us to think of that as we're going to prepare to partake communion in four areas. One is, you know, in order to walk this life in faith, we need to know we're not walking alone. We have fellow companion in the journey of faith. Verse 1 to 3. Not only we have companion, when we know who are the companions, hopefully daily, we have thanksgiving in the journey of our faith. From verse 4 to 7. When we walk, we know who walk with us. We give thanks for them. And then from verse 8 to 20, when we know who they are, sometimes in relationship, there are cracks, the tensions, the things need to be restored. God said through the book of Philemon, their request in the journey of faith to restore. And lastly, not only we are companion, not only we give thanks, not only we have a request. Every single day, we need to have hope in the journey of faith. So that's what we're going to look at, these four areas. Now, I know I don't have a whole day with you. And I don't. I have to go to an ordination in the afternoon. So, but with the communion coming up, I hope in the next 10 minutes, I could finish these 4 points. You know how rushed that will be. But at least, you know, in verse 1 to 3, it talks about not two persons, but there are two words in the scripture. When Paul addressed Philemon, he addressed him in a very interesting way. He said to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. And then he addressed his family members. He said, a sister called Aphia. A lot of people say maybe his wife, or maybe just a sister in Christ. And then he addressed a co-worker at church, which is meet at his home. He said, fellow soldier. So what he addressed there, two fellows. One is Philemon himself. He's a co-worker. Second is this person who's co-laborer at the church. You know, when he addressed them, we get to know what are the conditions. You know, when we come to church, I don't know about you, your parents drive you or you drive yourself, or for those of us close enough, you walk here. That, you know, it's a very, you have very much freedom to come in and out. But the time when Paul wrote this letter, he's actually in prison. He's not free. His environment is not as nice as we have nowadays. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's a perfect weather. You know, he's actually chained up in Rome. And when Paul addressed Philemon, he turned his attention, no longer think of, oh, he's a prisoner, but rather say, hey, when we come to the Lord together, think of, we are not alone. We are companions who can cheer, who can walk with us in this journey. And I thought of, okay, nowadays when I talk to people, how do I encourage them? You are not alone in the walk of faith. I am pretty sure all of you, if not over 95%, all have Facebook account, correct? You don't have to tell me, but I'm sure you do. Let me ask you, how many Facebook friends you have? You say, oh, I'm pretty popular. I may have 5. Now, I don't have any, so because I don't have an account. Okay? But, you know, we are very interested in the number of people who follow us in Facebook. But may I encourage you, in your walk of faith every single day with the Lord, not being pleased with how many Facebook friends you have, but think of how many faith bounded. You're bounded together with a common faith, brothers and sisters that you have in Christ, that could walk with you daily, no matter circumstances or environment that you have. Second, when Paul wrote this letter, he turned the attention of the recipient, Philemon, and the church members, not look at the circumstances, but instead, Paul said, I give thanks for you guys, from verse 4 to 7. In that, it's very interesting, he said, verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. I remember when I pray, I always start out with praying for my family members. I start out praying first and foremost, it's my younger daughter, because she's not nearby. She lives a couple thousand miles away in Norfolk, Virginia. So I always wonder, how is she doing? What's she going through? And the worst thing you find out is not she call you, but you look up her Facebook account. And then she posted, I'm in urgent care. I said, what happened? And then you're so frightened. I couldn't wait, so I had to call her. She somehow hurt her finger. Remember, I praying for her. Say, Lord, I pray for safety. So in here, Paul said, whenever I think of you, Philemon, and the people at your church, I give thanks to the Lord. What do we give thanks for when we think of ourselves or the people in our lives? You know, normally we think of what they did for us. Right? You think of your parents, you always say, oh yeah, my parents give me an iPhone X. We wish, right? So I don't know what you wish. So a lot of time when you're thankful for is what you have received, people did for you. In here, Paul reminds Philemon, not so much what people did for him, but instead, he did pray and give thanks for what he heard about Philemon. Do you say, Paul is in prison. How can he hurt about Philemon, the comment about Philemon? Now, if you study the New Testament, you know when Paul was in prison, he wrote four books. We call the prison epistles. One is Philemon, one is Colossians, one is Philippians, one is Ephesians. They're all four books are called prison epistles. And in Colossians, it talks about a person. The person's name is Epaphras, which is he addressed in verse 23. That person is the native of Colossians. He came from the same town as Philemon. And so that basically he served with Paul. And he heard from him talk about Philemon. And what did he talk about now? When people talk about you, what do you think they talk about you about? Hopefully it's good things, right? I don't know about you. I always kind of afraid when people say, Pastor Joseph, someone mentioned about you. Then I say, what did they say? You know, and by God's grace so far, I haven't heard anything that's detrimental, even though there are complaints, you know. But in here, he talk about, he say, what do they talk about Philemon? Verse 5. He said, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. He said, Philemon, I give thanks for is not so much you have done for others, but so much people recognize your faith in Christ. You truly believe in the Lord, and in your life, it reflected out in your daily living through loving others in Christ. Now, I hope in our own lives, when people comment about us, they also comment about in that way. Not so much, oh, so-and-so, yeah, he, and then fill in the blank. But rather, it's talking about our true faith in Christ, reflected by how we live our daily lives. And then in that, he not only gives thanks for his faith in Christ. When we give thanks for people, we not only think of their character, but we also pray for them. Because in verse 6 in here, Paul said, I pray for you, Philemon. Because he said, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. That word, active in sharing your faith, actually is only one word in Greek. Koinonia. If you know the word, he said, Pastor, I don't know Greek. Chinese, I don't know that much either. Right? Some of you may know a lot. My girls, they don't know any Chinese. But you ask her, she said, I'm Chinese. Don't ask me why. But so, Koinonia is the fellowship I grew up, the name. The word Koinonia means fellowship. So in here, he said, I pray that Philemon, in your faith, in your growth, in a community of faith, that you have fellowship with one another. Why? So that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. He said, the reason I give thanks for not only your life reflect faith in action, loving one another, but I also pray that in your daily walk with God, you fellowship with Him and also with brother and sister in Christ, so that you grow in knowledge of knowing that every good thing comes from Him, including your faith in Christ. So in that, he moved on to the most important paragraph, verse 8 to 20. Now, when we walk with the Lord, when we know by the grace of God, we grow in Him, we give thanks for our brothers and sisters. But then when we live together, whether actual brothers and sisters or by faith, brother and sister in Christ, there are times we have arguments. There are times relationship broken because of things happen. As I told you, this book is about a master and a slave. The master is Philemon. He's pretty rich. He owned quite a lot of things. He's a businessman. He was led to Christ by Paul when he went to Ephesus to do business. And then he's very active at Colossae. That's where his hometown. So, and he's rich enough, so he had a big home. So that's why the church meet at his house. So at that time, at his house, there was this slave, which is his name is recorded in verse 10. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. Who is he? He's that slave who ran away. Why? He stole some money, some material things from Philemon. And he ran away from Colossae to Rome. Because Rome is a it's a big city. So people and a lot of slaves work there and live there. So it's easily blend in, it's hard to be captured. Because in that time, if you stole something, and especially you're a slave, you got caught being sent back to the master. The master could do anything to you, including killing you. So at that time, and so happened, when he went away to Rome, by God's providence, he met Paul, and Paul led him to Christ. Okay? So that's the story. Now, Paul said, verse 8, Paul said, hey, I have something I want to ask you to do. But it's very interesting the way he said, the reason I request you to do something is because this guy, Onesimus, you know him? You're a runaway slave? He said, I appeal to you. Now, the word Onesimus, the name, is a very interesting name. In Greek, means useful. Okay? Verse 11 tell you he's not useful because what? He stole money. He ran away. He's no longer working for the master. So verse 11 tells you, he said, formerly he was useless to you. Right? You see that word? Why is he useful? That's his name. But now he's useless because he ran away from you. He's no longer working for you. So he's useless to you. But now he's useful to you and to me. Because why? He's no longer a slave in the strict sense. His brother in Christ. His life had changed. So he asks Philemon to do something. Now, when you ask people to do something for you, how do you ask? Just like now, they know what I need. No. When my daughter called me, I know she needs something. When my grandson come and say, Agong, Agong, grandfather, then I know he wants something. Right? So when you ask some people do things for you, we need to know the attitude we have and the approach we need to use. And in the book of Philemon, it's a very biblical pattern for you and I to deal with when we request people doing something to restore. Now, he's not doing something, oh, could you wash my car? He's doing something in terms of relationship restoration. That is very tricky. And that takes the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord to change that. And I think Paul in that give us a biblical pattern. How do we request in the journey of faith? In here he said, very interesting, he said, look at it. The attitude we have, first, in verse 8, he said, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do. Paul said, I am the apostle, and I'm the guy who led you to faith. So what I tell you, you should do. You cannot even say no. So I could be bold. I could be very demanding. But Paul said, I'm not doing that. So the first attitude when we ask people to restore relationship is not by the position we have. It's not from top down. It's not being, look at me, I'm the pastor, so what I say, you better do it. But rather, second, not being demanding, use our own authority. But instead, verse 9, he said, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. He said, I appeal to you based on not human love, but the love of God. Why? Because following, he explained the reason of this love. He say, based on love which has come from God, because he said, as Paul, me, and very interesting, he said, an old man, he say, now he's not using authority, but he using his age to crush Philemon. No, he's not saying, just like, at that time, Paul is about 60, okay? It's about my age. So, Paul is not saying, hey, I'm 60, you only whatever, listen to me. That's what your parents tell you, right? They say, don't argue, listen, I'm your parent. I used to talk to my girls like that and learn that should never work. Anyway, so in that, no, what Paul is saying that, I'm Paul, an old man. He's appealing to his experience in life, that he went through so many things. He see how human relationships work together and have broken up. He said, I appeal to you as in my life experience as an old man. Only love will work, not by authority or age. Second aspect, not only an old man. And then he said, verse 9, second half, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He said, not only my life experience tell me you request through love of Christ, but also through my spiritual life, through my serving of Christ, I put not my comfort, but what the Lord glory and honor. And that led me to being a prisoner. In my spiritual life, I understand it's not by what I have, what I can say, but rather by my identity in Christ. That through that, even though I'm suffering as a prisoner, I appeal to you. And when he do that, he said, verse 13 and 14, our attitude should be, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he would take your place in helping me while I'm in chains of the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. not only not doing it by force or coercion, but through life experience and spiritual growth in Christ. Third, he said the attitude we have is that through not forcing, but appeal to that person are doing it willingly, spontaneously. Because a lot of times when you say, hey, you guys shouldn't argue, come on, make up. A lot of times, especially when kids, right? You guys don't have argument at home, right? When your parents say, make up. Sorry. Right here. And here, he say, it's not being forced, but rather you really see the reason you spontaneously. And what kind of method did he use? That approach to ask to be restored. Verse 11. When we ask people to do things, especially restore relationship that's broken, a lot of time we think, oh, I have to do something. What do I get out of it? It's not my fault. He's the one who triggered. He did something wrong. Or she's the one who started, right? So when we say, when we appeal to restore relationship, Paul in here, appeal first and foremost. It's not what Philemon need to do, but rather what benefit does he got out of it. He say, he used to be useless to you, but if you receive him back, it's a benefit to you. You no longer have a slave who's reluctant to serve you, but rather a brother in Christ, who willing more than just do the normal work. He go extra step for you. And then verse 17 to 20. He said, the approach, verse 17. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you welcome me. He appeal is a Philemon. The benefit is, if we are indeed partner, not in crime, but partner in Christ, then you will accept Philemon. I mean, you will accept Onesimus. You will restore the relationship. Because actually you gain something. But then Philemon may be at this point thinking, do you know how much you lost? You know how bad this guy is? Now, you may think, one thing I haven't said, which is shock us when we realize when Paul requests Philemon to accept Onesimus back. At that very moment, Philemon is reading the letter, correct? Who's bringing the letter? Onesimus and Tychicus. Tychicus is the guy who bring the letter. He came along with Onesimus. So when he read the letter, he's standing in front of him. If someone has stolen from you, had hurt you, stand right in front of you, what do you want to do? You beat the crap out of him. Correct? You want to hurt him. You want... But at this point, Paul said, please accept him, because that's like you accepting me. And then, because of time, I don't want to go through. But and then he said, if he stole whatever he stole to you, I'll give you back. What he owe you, I'll give you back. So he appealed to what the benefits of he had. So when we're trying to restore relationships, don't think of what we hurt, what we lost, but think of what we gain. Lastly, then we have their communion. Verse 21 to 25. In our life, I don't know about you. I mean, in my own life, I'm 60 almost. And many broken relationships. Many of them I'm still working on. Some of them, by God's grace, will restore. Some of them, for one reason or the other, the person didn't want to reconnect, didn't want to forgive. How do we do? How do we go on? We got to have hope in the journey of faith. And here he said, verse 21, confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Now, that's what Paul had in mind. How Philemon react, nobody knows. But why Paul is so confident? Not because what he wrote. Not because of his authority. Not because Philemon owed Paul his salvation because he led him to Christ. But his confidence is in Christ, who changed Philemon's. And through what he heard, he know Philemon's life is different. He know that as he appealed, not based on his own word, but based on the word of God, that Philemon, with the indwelling of the Spirit, will respond. That's all we can have in our life. Whether anyone will willing to restore with us of the broken relations out of our reach, but our hope is in him who can restore. And the second hope, verse 22. And one more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. So as we come to the Lord, one of the power, one of the secrets that we can restore my relations with the Lord or the relation with brothers and sisters is through prayer. Because Paul is a prisoner now, and yet he said, I hope and I trust that through your prayer on my behalf, I'll be released and I can come and see you. Who knows? But he trusts that God knows what he's doing. In the same way, in your life, in your church, in your walk with the Lord, whether the relationship broken is you and your parents, your good buddies, or your spouse, the one thing we know for sure, we can't make people change, but God can. And the only way you can work, make it work, is not we being nice. We have to be nice. But through the power of prayer that change us and the other persons. Same as we're going to have the communion now. I hope later on as you come and receive the elements, normally, are you doing both elements at the same time? Oh, okay. Good. I never host a communion with you guys, so I'm not sure the process. I hope you have think of your own relationship with the Lord, because just as a reminder, when Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians to remind brothers and sisters as we prepare to partake communion, he reminded them that before we partake, we got to examine ourselves. What is my relationship now with God and with people? First and foremost, if my relationship with him is broken, ask him to forgive and restore. So when we partake the elements, we know that through the bread and the juice represent his body and his blood, so that we are forgiven and we can restore with him. And through that, God will empower you to restore your relationship with those horizontal with us, our family members, our friends, our co-workers, our spouse, our neighbors.